Bé, bona tarda a tothom. Iniciem una nova edició dels debats d'educació, la segona ja d'aquest 2010, que com veieu hem iniciat a un ritme viu. Recordem com ho fem sempre, pensant en les persones que participeu per primera vegada en aquests debats d'educació, que aquesta és una iniciativa de la Fundació Jaume Bofill i dels Estudis de Psicologia i Ciències de l'Educació de la Universitat Oberta de Catalunya, que vam iniciar el 2003 i que, per tant, doncs ja ens trobem en la setena edició. Voldria agrair novament al MACBA la possibilitat i el suport que ens dona reiteradament per poder portar a terme aquests debats en aquest espai. I d'entrada, doncs, retornar sobre la idea de l'objectiu dels debats d'educació. Aquests debats tenen la finalitat de promoure un fòrum de discussió i de sensibilització adreçat a la participació dels diversos actors socials, polítics i professionals vinculats de manera directa o indirecta amb els temes d'actualitat i de fons que ha de donar resposta al nostre sistema educatiu. Per aquest propòsit, aquest curs ja hem comptat amb les intervencions dels professors Vincent Duprier, Mats Ekholm i només doncs, fa de fet uns quants dies, en aquest principi de mes de gener, el professor François Duré. Les seves ponències entorn de la segregació escolar, l'autonomia de centres i el declivi de la institució escolar les podreu trobar, com sempre, recollides en la web dels debats d'educació que podeu veure en aquests moments darrere meu. Avui, mantenint l'objectiu d'aquests debats, volem donar una nova perspectiva sobre una temàtica a què ja ens hem apropat en d'altres ocasions, tot i que també des d'altres punts de vista. M'estic referint al vincle entre les desigualtats socials i el rendiment educatiu. Per aquest propòsit, comptem amb el professor Jaap Donckers, catedràtic de recerca internacional comparada de la Universitat de Maastricht. Serà l'Anna Jolong, responsable de l'àrea d'educació de la Fundació Jaume Bofill, qui us presentarà amb més deteniment el nostre ponent i us farà alguna precisió sobre la dinàmica de la presentació.
Bé, bona tarda. Moltes gràcies, Josep Maria. És un honor per mi que tinguem en aquest debat d'educació el professor Jaap Donckers, que, com ens han dit ara, és sociòleg de l'educació i catedràtic d'investigació comparada internacional sobre el rendiment escolar i les desigualtats socials a la Universitat de Maastricht. El professor Donckers està a la Universitat de Maastricht des del desembre de 2009, és a dir, molt recentment. Quan vam contactar amb ell, el professor Donckers estava a l'Institut Universitari Europeu a Florència com a responsable d'estratificació social i desigualtats, treballant amb aquests temes. Per tant, l'hem conegut en un moment de trasllat. Ara, en aquests moments, torna a estar a la Universitat de Maastricht i, com veieu, les seves anàlisis i els seus treballs sempre relacionen doncs, el món de l'educació, l'escola, els sistemes i les polítiques educatives amb les desigualtats socials. Per tant, l'equitat i el rol de l'educació amb l'equitat és una de les seves preocupacions. El professor Jaap Donckers té una llarga llista de publicacions. Ha insistit que tinguéssiu el PowerPoint per poder seguir la seva conferència en detall, perquè se centrarà molt en l'anàlisi de les dades i per tant també tenim, gràcies a tenir el Power, avui mateix doncs, les publicacions que ell mateix ha volgut destacar en relació amb el tema que ens ocupa avui, que seria aquest de l'alumnat immigrant i el rendiment en la seva escolaritat en funció dels països d'origen. Però dir-vos que sí que m'agradaria destacar una de les publicacions que aquí no teniu, però que ens l'ha donat a conèixer aquí a Catalunya i que tenim traduïda al català gràcies a la Fundació Campalans, que el té penjat a la seva web i que ha estat motiu de discussió en diversos blogs. Per tant, hi ha gent que el deveu haver llegit a partir d'una conferència que va fer l'any 2007 en un fòrum europeu sobre socialdemocràcia a Europa. La conferència està publicada i es titula L'educació com a pilar de les desigualtats. En aquesta conferència, Jaap Dronkers planteja no pocs interrogants sobre la situació real dels nostres sistemes educatius i aborda molts dels temes que tenim en la nostra agenda immediata amb tot el que és el desplegament de la LEC. Temes com el que avui ens ocupa, el paper de les polítiques educatives en la integració, en la igualtat d'oportunitats de tot l'alumnat immigrant, però també la relació entre divorci i fracàs escolar, o el model comprensiu i el model comprensiu com a no reductor de les desigualtats, l'avaluació. Són temes polèmics, són temes que ell aborda sempre des del seu rigorós treball acadèmic, però que alhora ha volgut fer presents i fa presents, i amb les seves aportacions ha contribuït sempre al debat públic amb un discurs crític amb les polítiques educatives de la socialdemocràcia europea, fet alhora i assumint els seus valors, els valors de la socialdemocràcia a Europa. Jaap Dronkers es planteja que no només l'educació ha de ser per a tothom, sinó que també l'educació ha de contribuir i ha de, en la superació de les desigualtats d'origen. La contribució que ens fa avui és fruit de les seves darreres investigacions i anàlisis. Ell ha volgut insistir que el tema que ens ocupés avui fos aquest, perquè creu doncs, que això és el que ens pot aportar avui de més innovador, de més original, de més nou en les seves darreres recerques. Sense més, agrair enormement que el professor Jaap Dronkers hagi acollit la nostra invitació i que el tinguem avui aquí en aquest nou debat d'educació. Moltes gràcies.
Una precisió sobre que el professor Dronkers ens demanava que féssim l'auditori, que és que si durant, com que utilitzarà profusió de dades, si hi ha alguna pregunta durant la seva intervenció que restringida estrictament el que és aclarir alguna informació, la pot respondre durant la seva intervenció. Si són preguntes d'una altra mena de reflexió, com sempre les farem al final. Si són aclariments breus, això sí que ho podríem admetre durant el procés de presentació. Demanava això per poder-se cenyir ell el temps de què disposem. Gràcies.
Thank you very much. Good evening, everybody. I'm very happy that I could not understand the full speech, because for somebody from Holland that would be very embarrassing to have so many nice words said about you. We Calvinists don't like that many nice words, but thank you very much. Also, I want to underline that I'm a researcher. You already said that, and I want to underline that once more. I'm going to present here the outcome of my research. It's research of some outcomes which I don't understand. But these are the best available outcomes I have right in this moment. Right? So I'm not a politician. I'm not a prophet. I'm a researcher. And that's what I'm going to present you today.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
No, this is it.
Yes.
Now here, exactly.
I will address these three questions. So first, the education performance of children of immigrants relative to their country of origin and to their country of destination. Secondly, whether we can explain all these differences with the educational system of origin and educational system of destination, because immigrants come from somewhere and go to somewhere. What's important? How affected this outcome? And also, education is not in a vacuum. How macro characteristics of the country of origin and destination affect these outcomes. Right? That's a very simple, actually descriptive question, although there are a lot of high technical things behind it, but basically it are descriptive questions. What do I use? I use PISA data. If you were now a German audience, you would immediately know what it means, and you would be very excited. Because the PISA is collected by the OECD. It's in the 3 years, and is the best collection we have to compare educational systems in the OECD countries, and also neighboring countries. For the presentation of today, I use the PISA 2006, right? And I use not all countries. So you will miss here Spain, you miss here France, you miss here the USA, you miss here Canada. Why? Because the authorities in these countries decided that the country of birth of pupils were so unimportant that they didn't want to ask it. They thought we don't have immigrant problems with immigrants. As we know, France doesn't have any problem with its immigrants. So you are not interested to know where they are born, neither where they are born and their parents. Only these countries, these European countries, these OECD countries, asked for the country of birth of the pupil and of both parents. Right? So if you have complaints about this, go to Madrid or go to Barcelona, for that matter, because you will notice that Scotland is in it, in this list, yeah, and Scotland has its own educational system, and that's why the Scottish asked, but not the English. It's perhaps interesting for the people in Catalonia. What are immigrants? At least one of the parents is born outside the test country. So if both parents are born inside the test country, let's say are born inside Germany, but the pupil is born outside, it's not counted as an immigrant. Right? And we have first and second generation. Second generation, only the parents are born outside the test country. And third generation, also the child is born outside the test country. I'm not going to discuss fully all the problems related with this, but basically it comes down that we try to estimate based on the country of birth of both parents and the child and the language spoken at home, the most probable country of origin, or the most important country of origin. Right? So if the father and mother has a different country of origin, we take the mother, if they speak the language of that country. That's how the thing is. By this way, we get about 9,000 immigrants from whom we know the country of origin. They come from 46 countries of origin. That's not complete, because in PISA they were not forced to name all the country of origin. Each country named 5 or 6 countries of origin and others. And we threw away the others cases, because we want to focus on country of origin. We use a scientific literacy, which was measured in 2006. But don't think if you would use 2003, no, if don't think that the results are quite different if you would use reading or math instead. We know we have a less perfect measurement of math and reading also in 2006. You can rerun the whole story and you get more or less the same results. Because basically you are measuring at the age of 15 how good pupils are in doing school things. That's basically what you are measuring. The OECD score is set on 500 and the standard deviation is 100. And just to inform you, the difference between Germany and Finland, which is the largest, no, Finland is the top scorer in Europe, is 39. And think Germany made a big thing out of it being so low. But Finland is not the real top scorer. The real top scorer is Hong Kong. And then the difference Germany-Hong Kong is -858. And for your information, the difference Spain-Germany is -48. Of course, there is a lot of internal Spanish differences. It might be different for the Catalan vis-à-vis Germany than for Andalusia. But I don't want to dwell into this now. Here, and you have it, why you have the PowerPoint, because I don't want to discuss this very long, but I want to show that I have real data. This is the list of the scores of the children of immigrants. So the poorest, the immigrant with the lowest scores in Europe come from Cap Verde, with a score of 380. And then comes Albania, and so on. This is the low side of the story. This is the high side of the story. Belarus is nearly on the average immigrant, and the top scorers are the United States, with 571. Not the United States in the United States. These are immigrants from the United States living in these countries I've shown you earlier. And mostly they live actually in Australia. You also see China with 552. Somewhere there's Spain in it, but I don't want to dwell too much on Spain in this. So you see there's a lot of variation. Nearly double the standard deviation. And that's a lot. Remember how that compared to the Hong Kong, to the Finland, Germany difference was only 40 points. If we look now from destination point of view, you see here the immigrants, you see the natives, and you see the difference. Only in Australia, and this is not yet, we don't take into account social background. This is just our raw outcomes, right? And you see that in Australia, immigrants do better than the natives. And then it goes down. Perhaps to your amazement, the country with the largest difference is not Germany or other Austria, but is Denmark, minus 113. I can't help it. This is what comes out of it. We can also look from a different point of view. From a number of immigrant countries, we know, also participated in PISA. One of them, that was not Morocco, that was not Algeria, which might be interesting for other cases, but it was Turkey. These are the pupils in Turkey, the native pupils in Turkey, and they have a score of 460, right? And these are the Turkish immigrants in a number of European countries. You see that in Austria, Turkish pupils do far worse, Turkish immigrant children do far worse than Turks in Turkey. If you control for socioeconomic background, that doesn't get better. Turkey more or less remain the same, and they even go a little bit down. Another very important thing here is to note, so these are the data. What can you conclude for this? That actually, if you compare the Turkish immigrant with the Turks at home, Turkish immigrant do poorer than Turks at home. Which might be an indication that Turks, in this case, are negatively selected. There's a huge literature in American academic about positive and negative selectivity of immigrants. Which is basically immigrants are positively selected because they dare to make the step. Right? They jump. They are perhaps legitimate. Too daring, but daring people. And that will produce a positive selectivity. And however, another line of argument is that, especially related to guest workers program, that if you have a guest workers program and you pick guest workers from the poorest province, somewhere in Spain or Turkey or Portugal and bring them straight to another country, that's not a good way to select immigrants. Actually, a very bad way. And that might be the case here. I say might be the case because I come to this later in Europe. Secondly, the second point is that Turkish immigrants score low in Denmark, although in Denmark they never participated in guest workers program. So this result for Denmark runs against the guest workers argument. Right? While in Germany and Belgium, they were the early participators, and look back to Belgium, they are more or less on the level of Turks. And even this holds for Germany. Right? So there is, on the other hand, you can say the very low score of Turks in Denmark doesn't support the explanation of guest workers. Thirdly, there seems to be no country effect, Islamic country effect, because we also know other immigrants from other countries, especially from other immigrant countries like Italy, Spain, Portugal, and Croatia. And you have them here. These are the Spanish immigrants. Yeah, so there is a slight Spanish positive selection. But look here at Italy. Very negative. The original Italians do far better. And this is totally Italy. If I would split it up among regions, you would have a huge variation. While the Italian immigrants in this case, mostly Switzerland, Liechtenstein, Germany, and Belgium, do far poorer. So there is not a really Islamic explanation. There might be a guest workers explanation, but again, that's not very strong. There are even more difficult problems. Take here the German immigrants. We have German immigrants in Europe living in another country. They do more poor than in Germany itself. Take France. French immigrants living, for instance, in Belgium or in Luxembourg. They do more poor than the French. That doesn't support any guest workers explanation, but might support another one, which I listed here, because the lower scores are among the Italian first and second generation immigrants, among Austrian first generation immigrants, French first generation, and German second generation, which is fully contradicting the guest workers explanation. And then it might be that Europe in itself, all the European countries, are not a very good place for immigrants to stay. I cannot show you that today, but there are only two groups who have a very positive effect. That are the Dutch here. I'm coming from the Netherlands. But these are Dutch mostly living in Belgium. And I have Swedes here, and these Swedes are mostly living or in Norway or in Finland. Which in both cases means they are not visible as immigrants because they are so close by. It might be that all visible immigrants, and I, having lived for 8 years in Italy, I can assure you that when you live in Italy, being a Dutchman, you are a visible immigrant. They recognize you. You have some small signs which make you not Italian. Right? It might be that all visible immigrants have more difficulty in establishing themselves and their children in comparison with more traditional immigrant countries like the US. And you will see later on that I come back to this theme. Now, the second part, educational system of the country of origin and destination. This was just information to get started. These are the kind of indicators we have used for this analysis, both of the country of origin and of the country of destination. I can discuss this very long, and we have tried more things, but these are the best available. Right? Education for All Development Index is an indicator developed by international agency to measure how much education available for our students. Compulsory education is well known. Comprehensive is a real comprehensive system without any tracking. Moderate differentiation, you have tracking within a school system. Like in the US, you have clearly tracking in the US, but within one high school. And a school type stratified education system, that's in Germany with vocational Hauptschule. But also in the Netherlands, don't worry, we have the same thing. Student staff ratio, expenditure of money, and the usual things. What do we get? First of all, we are now in the country of destination. And here you have the scores of the immigrants. Now you see the immigrants are doing best in a moderately differentiated educational system if their parents have low education. If their parents have high education, it is the same for a comprehensive system and a moderately differentiated system. See that a highly differentiated system, the German system, to be brief, is bad both for low educated and high educated. This result, this outcome, I take into account parental background, anything you want. I have even taken here into account country of origin characteristics. So you cannot blame these outcomes to saying this would be different if you would take into account parental background or the country of origin. This is a pure effect. I'm not going into the technical details, interesting as they might be. I love them. I would love to teach that for hours, but not now. Which it means that educational performance of immigrant children is lower in highly differentiated system than it is in education system with a moderate level of differentiation. Remember this, because tomorrow I will speak about another aspect of this for the natives. And you will see that the results are a little bit different for natives in comparison with immigrants. Education performance of lower class children is highest in moderately differentiating system, but not in comprehensive. And the latter is true for natives. So here, immigrants and natives have not the same situation vis-à-vis the education system in the country of destination. Immigrant children from higher social class perform less in highly differentiated education than comparable immigrant children from higher in moderately differentiated. You can see that here in leisure at home. And, very important, the higher the average score of the natives in the destination country, I didn't show that you that in a graph, but that's one of the outcomes. The higher the natives are doing, the better the natives are doing, the better also the immigrants are doing. But not in the same page. So it is good for immigrants to go to a well-performing country in which they get good education. So from that point of view, there's no contradiction between immigrants and natives in having good scores. And finally, immigrants perform less in destination country which has a high degree of teacher shortage. And that's very indicative, especially if pupils miss enough cultural and social capital. They need education more than those who have already a lot of social and cultural capital at home, because in that case, in the case of shortages, parents can still help. Well, if you have not enough, you really need education. And that's why teacher shortage is such a vital thing. Teacher quality is such a vital thing. Country of destination. Country of origin, I'm sorry. We are now in the country of origin. These are the years of consult compulsory education in the country of origin. Right? So this is a country with 13 years. And as you see, the more compulsory education there is in a country of origin, the better immigrant children, pupils, are doing it in the country of destination. First, secondly, of course, this is strongest for those generation, 1.15, 1.25 means quite recently arrived immigrants at the age of 10. Between 5 and 10. Yeah? Well, these are more. But what's also very interesting, you see still a strong effect also for second generation immigrants, which means these children never have experienced the educational system of origin, because they are born in the country of destination, but their parents have. And actually what you see here, according to me, is that the quality of the education in the country of origin is even affecting, without any doubt, through the cultural and social knowledge of their parents, their children in the country of origin, of destination. And this was the major effect. So the other things we tried here, this didn't work out. It was compulsory education in the country of origin which did the work, which explained a huge part of the origin effect. Not totally, but a huge part. So this was far more important than student-teacher ratio or the other. How long both men and women went to school in the country of origin. Now we move on to the macro characteristics of the country of destination and origin. First, origin, destination. Again, the average performance of the native. And then we have MIPEX. MIPEX is our skills developed, to say it very briefly, by a subcommission of the European Union to measure the inclusiveness of the laws in the European member states towards immigrants. How easy is the labor market access for immigrants? How easy family reunion is? And this measurement is not for European Union citizen, because they have all the rights to move around. This is for third country immigrants, right? And this is the best indicator how the law is established. I'm not saying how the law is working, how the law looks like, and the policy, formal policy looks like. And I added here traditional immigrant receiving country, which in this case are Australia and New Zealand. For the origin, I included Human Development Index, which is a combination of educational level in that country, how many children survive their first year, which is always a very good indicator on the prosperity of the country, and a number of other of these things, and the GDP, which is the gross national product per capita. We included in an analysis also separately the gross national product to please our economists, but actually I believe the Human Development Index is a better index. We included Kaufman's indicator for political stability in that country of origin, because we wanted to know whether a part of the immigration was driven by political instability of the country of origin, which make an other mix, other motives to immigration than economic thing. Actually, these two measure, let me more economic driven migration, these two more measure political driven migration. And we added to this religion, because in earlier analysis this happens to be a very powerful it is, and so it is religion at the macro level. So Turkey is in this case an Islamic country. It doesn't mean that the immigrant is Islamic, right? It's very important to make that distinction. I come back to that. So we included, together with the educational system characteristics, these macro characteristics, because you might think these are related. There's no significant effect of most macro characteristics of country of destination. All these migrant policies didn't have any effect. All these differences in the law didn't work out. My only excuse is I can't help it. These are the outcomes of my research. I'm not saying it is unimportant. In other studies, I come back to that a little bit later, I find sometimes an effect, but not on education. And this is not the first time. What I found, whatever I do, I've tried to get it away, but this is what I found. Immigrant children living in traditional immigrant receiving countries do outperform comparable immigrant children in not non-traditional immigrant receiving countries. But it also depends on the parental background. The higher the difference, the higher the parental status, the larger the difference. You will find this here, in this beautiful graph. I think it's beautiful.
How much do I have? Yes, there's time. Pardon.
So these are parents with a low education. No, hardly any difference between traditional immigrant countries and neither that traditional immigrant countries do worse. Eh? This is hardly in the, both. But look here, this is average, and this is high parental background. And here, in middle and high, they do best. Which basically means that that makes a part of the attractiveness of non-traditional, of traditional immigrant countries. Remember what I showed you 10 minutes ago about the Germans and the France and the French in Europe. This is not the first time this is found. In generally, you find that also holds for the United States that ethnic background is far less important among immigrants, there's a separate story about blacks here, but about immigrants. Ethnic background is far less important in traditional immigrant countries than in Europe. No, I'm going the wrong direction. Outcomes of the country of origin. There's no lower significant effect of performance of children originating from political unstable countries. Why we thought immigrants from political unstable country might have a wish to return after the regime change, right? And might be less focused on the country of destination, and that might reflect the educational outcomes of their children. No effect. Not true. Neither of economic development. We expected a positive relation. Not true. The only thing we found are two effects. Islamic countries and Eastern religion. And we are now on this graph. These are the Christian immigrants. Croatia, Austria, France, Germany, whatever you wish. Oh, yeah. These are the Islamic. Eastern religion is Hinduism and Buddhism. And this is called no religion, which is formally true, but in practice this is China. You might discuss whether Confucianism is a religion. I've lost that battle. I said it's a religion, but my co-authors didn't agree with me. So it's called no religion here. For good reasons, there's an argument to be made. This is parental status. Now you see that whatever happens, Eastern religion, this is controlled for all the usual suspects. Right? Origin, destination, blah, 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 blah. Immigrant children from Eastern religion and from China outperform always whatever the educational level of the parents, the socioeconomic position of the parents. And that holds true, so they do far they do also better than Christian immigrants. The immigrants coming from Christian countries. The problem is here, the Islamic country. Of course, that it moves up, because the most important thing is your parental background. That's always true. But it doesn't grow that fast for the Islamic countries than for the, as in comparison with the Christian countries. This runs, I'm going too fast. There are three possible explanations of this Islam effect. I'm coming back also to the Chinese effect. Don't worry. First of all, there might be more subjective perceived discrimination by Muslims. They might feel them more discriminated, let me say, than Hindu or Chinese or Buddhist. I'm coming to more evidence later. The second explanation is, let me say first something about the discrimination explanation. There is American literature that Korean and Vietnamese immigrants react differently to discrimination, to the same form of discrimination, compared to people from Latin America. Let me formulate it very briefly. People from Korea and Vietnam ignore the discrimination and work harder, just to show them that they are stronger than those stupid people who discriminate us. While people from Latin America tend to follow another way, feel themselves hit into their honor and stop working and say it is impossible here in this country. Which I'm not having any moral say what is the best way to react. But as a consequence, you might react different. Now, this might be true also for Islam. If your personal honor is a very important thing, you might react differently to subjective discrimination, even if the discrimination level is not that different from discrimination from Hindus and Buddhists or Chinese. Because basically, I don't believe, I come back to more evidence on this point, that the Chinese are less discriminated in Europe than we say in Islam. The second is a negative selection of guest workers, but we have already seen this is not supported by our own Turkish example. It might be that the guest workers all went to the wrong continent. It's Europe. Well, if guest workers would have gone to the United States, the thing might be different. Right? But that's not a guest workers argument. And finally, it might be that the religious values, like honor, like gender, attitude towards gender inequalities, partly contradicts condition of success in modern societies. And this goes back to an old argument of Max Weber. Yeah? Let me say something about the evidence on this point. Because you might say you didn't measure religion. There's now a beautiful data set in Europe, which is called the European Social Survey, which is basically the best measurement of political attitudes and a lot of other stuff in all European member states, plus a number of extra neighboring aspirant members, like Norway or Iceland or Ukraine. And we know the religion there, the individual religion in there. And there we find that male immigrants, not female immigrants, by the way, male immigrants in the European, and we don't have the negative thing of the European Social Survey is we don't have United States in it. It's only European countries, right? But we have them all. That's the good thing. Male, second generation male immigrants in the UN, in the European Union with Islamic religion, active individual Islamic religion, achieve lower educational levels than comparable male immigrants with other religious Africans. But not because they came from an Islamic country. We also try to include in the analysis Islamic country vis-à-vis individual religion, and it was not Islamic country, but it was. Secondly, immigrants who were adherents of a non-Latin Christian religion, which is basically a Catholic, a Roman Catholic religion, including Protestants, including secular ex-Catholics or Protestants in the Western part, felt those who didn't belong to that, but it includes Eastern Orthodox Christian, felt more discriminated in the European Union, all of them. But Islam adherents were not more than the other religions, so there's no argument to say Islam is extra discriminated. All non-Latin Christian immigrants felt discriminated, including the Eastern Orthodox. And finally, religious advantages and disadvantages are not eternal. Being a Protestant, of course, I know that in the 19th century, Catholics were not that successful in capitalism as Protestants were. And Max Weber writes about it. This is not an issue anymore now. The Catholics has, in some way, adjusted themselves to capitalism, if I may say so. Right? Well, Max Weber still made the argument that Confucianism was something petrified, stagnant, early 20th century. We would not now make this argument. So, religion can change. On the other hand, we have to say it's not necessary that it will change. We don't at longer adhere the Roman gods, neither the Greek gods. We have all become Christian, or Christianized, or gender became Christianized. So religion might be an important case here. I only wanted to say this is not something eternal, some not necessarily something inherent, but the consequence of a long political and cultural strife. And I will continue with this argument looking at the other side. You remember, I'm now going to this part, especially to my Chinese. I'm going fully the wrong direction. No. Chinese. Now, the normal explanation is not on this sheet, because they say Chinese are doing so well because they are hit in a very authoritarian educational system and they are forced to learn. And that's why I show you in a second both outcomes from China and outcomes from Chinese immigrants in Australia, New Zealand, Portugal, Austria and Scotland. In the later, so the Chinese outside Asia, they don't have an authoritarian educational system. They live in other non-Asian countries. And so there, this explanation should not apply. They should do the same as other immigrants. The second argument, which is, I think, more valid, is that the Chinese culture attributes a higher value to education. And that's, of course, ingrained in the long history of China. In China, although being a feudal country, had always had a main education as the other main avenue for social mobility, with local, provincial, and national examinations. And you succeeded in the examination not because you were the friend of the friend or the son of the father, but because you really, it was a very meritocratic system with negative effects. But education was there for centuries, far longer than in Europe, a real avenue to high positions. Perhaps in the same way, in a comparable way as the Catholic Church has been for some groups, but of course the Church has the problem that you could not marry and establish yourself. That's a first argument, and we will go into that. A third argument, there is a neuropsychological advantage of writing symbols of Chinese language. If you have to learn at an early age 3,000 characters, and you can only learn that by memorizing them, you are training your brains. You don't learn that at the age of 15 anymore. You learn it early or you don't learn it. Right? Secondly, there's it's very well established in literature that Chinese numbers are far more clear than numbers in the French language. The French language is the worst, of course. 99. Right? But we all have this in all European languages. And which basically means while the Chinese system is very clear, it is easier to remember a huge number, and the Chinese numbers are fully based on the 10 base. So it allows you to make computations in your head on a larger digit bit. Now let's first go to the attributed value of, and you have to look. This is time spent on reading and the importance of good notes. And time spent on reading is here including at home. So not only in school, but also including at home, all together. And have a look, you see that, for instance, that the Chinese speaking, so here means Chinese speaking, that they speak Chinese at home, right? So this is my main group, Chinese speaking, second generation Chinese immigrant outside Asia. Not as much as the first generation, but still far more higher than the non-Chinese speaking natives outside Asia. The non-Chinese speaking natives out of Asia are the Scots, the Portuguese, the Austrians, the Australians and the New Zealanders together. Right, just to give you a reference. These are the natives in, non-Chinese speaking natives in Asia, that means in Hong Kong, Taiwan and Macau. You cannot say this is only because of this Hong Kong, because I've also Macau in it. And you know, perhaps Spanish very well, this Portuguese colony on the Chinese coast, but this is not very famous for its economic activity. It's very famous for other things which I don't dare to mention here. But they still score very high. Right? Important of note is less important. Right, so there is some argument that time spent on education is far more important among the Chinese immigrants outside and inside than for the non-Chinese. So we have to take that into account. Non-Chinese, Chinese-speaking generation value good note most. That's the other side of the story. Yeah? Non-Chinese speaking, third generation Chinese immigrant out in Asia and outside Asia spend most time on reading. But these are the scores in math and reading. I did it both to avoid that you say this only a math effect. That's why I also show it for reading. After control for the time spent and parental background, all the usual suspects. And let's move directly to the Chinese-speaking second-generation immigrants outside Asia. 575. These are the natives in the country where they live in. a difference of 70 points, double the distance between Germany and Finland. And this is controlled for all the usual suspects. It is, by the way, less clear in reading. This is math. Remember the easiness of the numbers. But even in reading, this is still true. 500 points. I'm sorry, 50 points. Remember that they speak Chinese at home. So basically what I'm saying here, Chinese immigrant, please continue to speak Chinese at home. You will do far better in education. Don't learn the language. Or learn the language, but don't use it at home. Which, of course, is a very strange argument. But this is what I can find. You see a immediate drop for the non-Chinese speaking. Here are the non-Chinese speaking. Still doing better than the natives, but less than the Chinese speaking. Chinese speaking, 15 years old pupils in and outside Asia have a higher math score and reading score than comparable non-Chinese speaking natives in and outside Asia. Single country explanations like such as the Chinese selective immigrant, that's often an argument in the United States, or the authoritarian Chinese education system cannot explain these results. The high value of learning fails to explain the math score of Chinese pupils, and especially if immigrant pupils use the Chinese language at home. The high transparency of Chinese numbers, I mentioned that already earlier, seems to be an explanation of this high math score of Chinese-speaking pupils in and outside Asia, next to the increase in memorizing capacity by learning at least 3,000 characters at a very young age. Some final conclusions.
Yes.
Individual characteristics are far more important than explanation of educational outcomes than any macro characteristic. I didn't stress this during this presentation because otherwise I would have needed 3 hours. But so it's better to have high educated parents and being smart from a very from a country with low, with a very few compulsory education and so on, than the other way around. That's always true. Also in this immigration, individual characteristics are the most important thing. Then come school characteristics, of which I will speak tomorrow more, and then origin characteristics. But they are more important than destination. Giving this restriction to rich destination countries. Because you might have noticed that the destination countries have a more narrow range than the origin country. It's all more or less rich European OECD countries. While the origin countries have a broader range, and so you have more variations there to be explained. Having said that, origin is a real important thing. And there are a lot of analysis which doesn't take that into account. I took two relatively important international thing. First of the OECD, which is analysis of PISA 2003, in which country of origin was already available. Not for that many countries, but was available. And they have fully ignored it. As a consequence, Finland comes out best. Because you have only yes-no immigrant. Now, if you look at the Finnish case, you have only people from Sweden and Russian. That's the easy trick. And you have wrong outcomes. I'm not saying that the comprehensive outcome is wrong, but the analysis is wrong. I'm saying that the low score from Germany, relatively low score from Germany, was caused by Turks, as sometimes was suggested in the discussion in Germany. But not taking into account that difference might lead to wrong estimation of the Finnish-German differences. And you don't see this back in an European Commission report quite recently, which is on immigration and mobility challenge and opportunities for EU education system. It only goes on destination, no word about origin. This is just propaganda. If you want to find all the references, you find it here. If you go to my homepage, which is on the first page, you can click and come on my outcome. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Moltíssimes gràcies al professor Dronkers, entre altres coses per haver-se cenyit el temps, que no sempre és així, que li hem donat per fer la seva exposició. També moltíssimes gràcies per la claredat de les seves xifres, que no han estat xineses per nosaltres tampoc. Ell ha volgut adaptar molt el que és una anàlisi rigorosa, i de vegades em preguntava durant aquest temps que hem estat en contacte si havia de donar moltes explicacions estadístiques, i hem demanat que ho fes el màxim de digerible per un públic que no som especialistes en temes d'investigació comparada. Per tant, jo crec que ha fet aquest esforç d'adaptar resultats complexes per poder fer aquesta suggerent exposició. És el moment d'obrir el debat. És el moment de que puguem fer les nostres aportacions, preguntes al professor Dronkers.
Okay.
Si us sembla, agafarem un primer torn de paraules, si hi ha paraules, i després el professor respondrà a les preguntes que tingueu. Per allà hi ha una paraula. Hi ha alguna altra pregunta?
Allà, sí. Dues,
per allà hi ha una altra.
Quina banana.
I agafaríem... Sí, en tinc dues.
Tres.
L'altra no l'he vist. Sí o no?
Allà darrere.
Val, molt bé. Doncs fem tres preguntes i després el professor respondrà. Un micro per allà, sisplau. Aquí. Aixequeu bé el braç, perquè si no, des d'aquí no us veig, quan demaneu paraules. Gràcies.
Okay, good evening. Well, I was quite surprised about the result when you were talking about the no significant effects of macro futures in the society, in the country of destination. And you talked about the labor market access variable. I wonder why you didn't take the unemployment rate of immigrant population there, because you would be measuring maybe the real discrimination of the immigrant population.
Moltes gràcies. Hi havia una altra pregunta aquí. Aquí, sisplau.
Thank you for the explanation. I have two questions. First part of your presentation, you speak about the visibility of migrants in Europe. Some connection with the perception and expectation of teachers about immigrant children. And the second question, you speak about the Eastern religion case, the value of education in the origin culture. And in some way you explain the Chinese case with the link between education and social mobility. That's my question is, how much is work the link between education and social mobility about destination countries in school results?
I una tercera aquí, sisplau.
Sí, era un aclariment, o jo potser no ho he entès, no? Un moment que ha dit que la segona generació d'homes immigrants amb religió islàmica tenien resultats pitjors acadèmics i això no era degut a la religió dominant en el seu país d'origen. Llavors la meva pregunta era saber doncs, quina és la raó que aquesta segona generació d'homes diguem-ne musulmans o d'origen islàmic els hi vagi tan malament, i això vol dir, suposo, que està comparat amb com els hi va a les noies. M'agradaria saber si hi ha alguna, si pot aprofundir sobre això. I inevitablement, a mesura que anava sentint, clar, tot això té moltes implicacions a nivell de les polítiques educatives. Si ens diu que té més efecte el país d'origen que no pas les polítiques en destinació, què és el que es pot fer des del país de destinació, diguem-ne, no? Per fer front a aquest fracàs escolar que a més es reprodueix, o sigui, passa de la primera generació a la segona, en molts casos amb molt poques millores, no? Gràcies.
Moltes gràcies. Professor, si vol respondre amb una certa brevetat, perquè hi havia algunes altres paraules, que puguem fer un altre torn de preguntes.
No problem. I can go on for hours. That was a good question on unemployment rate. We tried it. And partly the answer is, if you would not take educational outcomes as an indicator, but labor market success, you are right. Remember, and that's, I come back to it, this PISA, you are 15 years old. So unemployment rate is not a real good indicator of the real underground. But then the problem with unemployment rate is that it is in some way polluted by whether you live in a welfare state or a social welfare state or a conservative welfare state. So it is not a good measurement of the amount of experience indicator for education. You find this effect if you focus on labor market outcomes of immigrants. Then there are two effects, the amount of unemployment, as you mentioned, but I have to also, that's one side of the coin, I have to also to say another side of the coin, is that in countries of destination in which there's less regulation of the labor market, let me say England, compared to Sweden, immigrants do better in countries with less regulation of the labor market, with less protection on the labor market. Because protection on the labor market first protects the insiders and not the outsiders. So there are two sides to the coin with this unemployment. But you are right, and I've tried it. I started with the same idea as you had. That's partly an answer also to the question on the boys and the girls. In the analysis with the European Social Survey, we have the final educational level of boys and girls. While the PISA is on 15 years old. Now, if you have adult respondents, then this male-female differences are very clear with Islam. It's a bit already visible in the PISA, but not very strong. It builds up actually later. Let me say, in the choice of staying in education or having education as the best avenue for mobility, which might be different for male and females in that situation. So there's something to be seen in PISA, but not that much. You see it better at the end of the educational curve. And it is real individual Islamic religion and not the country of origin. There's a clear link, I'm coming back to the other question as well. There's a clear link between education and mobility. Even for immigrants. Immigrants with high education have higher possibilities. Having said that, not as high as the natives. It's very clear that second generation immigrants in Europe, there's a lot of work on this, with the same educational background, blah, 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 has less opportunities, not only to enter the labor market, that's not the main problem anymore there, but to get a good position on the labor market. And it's even in countries like the Netherlands, not a point that they don't enter the labor market. They don't get my job. They get lower job. Right? So, yes, there is a clear link, but the link is less strong. On the other hand, you can also say perhaps immigrants have no more other opportunities than education. Next to an ethnic enclave in ethnic shops and ethnic shops and trade and these things. But that might be, although on the short run a success, in the long run a quite negative point to if you are caught into it. So there is a link of education and mobility, but less strong for immigrants. And I'm referring to specific group of immigrants. Of course, the expectation of the teacher might be an important role, because not because of teachers are bad persons, or but teachers are part of that society. So if a society like European societies has a different position vis-à-vis immigrants than Australians have, also teachers will have a different position. Now, you can also say, yeah, that's very easy for the Australians. They are all immigrants. Partly by killing all natives there. I mean, this does not sound very nice, but that's basically what happened in Australia. And also, by the way, in the United States. So, on the one hand, that means nobody can say why you are here, because they are all immigrants. Alone, and there's a price. Why in Europe, this question is more difficult. And I don't want to blame teachers especially, and saying it are the teachers, and if they would have the good expectation, things would go better. That, I think that would be too easy. Now, that was the most difficult question. What can you do if you know that the country of origin is an important thing? Now, first of all, I think first important always, even if it is bad news, is to know. Ignorance is the worst thing. But let us, if origin is so important, you can also use it as a strength. I'm now bringing up a difficult topic. Let's assume that we want to use the strength of country of origin. In that case, we don't want to spread out the immigrants among a lot of different countries. We would like to concentrate. And in such a way that we have an Islamic Turkish school or a Moroccan school in school which specialized, which use, yeah? Which of course run, that has negative consequences for the society. But it is clear in Dutch research that Islamic schools do better than comparable public schools. I mean comparable with the same socioeconomic composition and socioeconomic background. Better in educational outcomes, which is a way of saying they were specializing themselves on a specific group, and mostly Islamic schools are both ethnic and religious specific, because Moroccan and Turks hardly go to the same Islamic school, yeah, basically. And the same holds for Suriname Islam, don't go to Turkish school and so on. So you have specialized schools, as there existed less more formally elsewhere. So there are negative sides to having Islamic schools, because you might say this is a separation from broader society, and this is not a good idea. And I accept that argument that it is a separation, because it is clear that parents in Islamic schools in the Netherlands have a larger distance to that society than parents in public schools, Turkish parents in public schools. On the other hand, if you have to choose, what would we prefer? Having Turkish immigrants with a good diploma or without a diploma. I think if I would be a politician and I have to make a difficult decision, I would prefer with a diploma. And try to find other ways to bridge the other thing. But that's a political decision. My basic argument here is we need to acknowledge these differences. We need to acknowledge that language can do different things. Language at home can do different things, as I showed in the Chinese case. And that religion is not something, it doesn't need to be something eternal, but can be used. And that there are not easy solutions here. Yeah. But ignoring is the most dubious thing you can do. Because you are running then after the wrong solutions. And saying everything, for instance, everything is socio-economic background. And if we give them money, the whole problem is solved. Sorry.
Moltes gràcies. Hi havia més paraules. Farem un altre torn. Un últim torn. Em semblava que algú havia aixecat la mà. Són fos les preguntes. Allà hi ha una pregunta. Hi ha alguna pregunta més? Hi ha algú que tingui... Bé.
Was the letter too sharp?
Ricard?
About this language.
Bona tarda.
There is a short yes.
Són dades i no hi podem fer resos tranquils. Fem una pregunta ben tranquil, no? Com deia el professor Dronkers. He llegit algun article seu en el que ha semblat que era molt crític amb una trajectòria de polítiques educatives en el que en diu vostè la socialdemocràcia a Europa, que jo lligaria amb això últim que ha dit vostè, que era una opinió també difícil, no? Em permeto la llibertat de formular aquesta pregunta, que no és ben bé el que ha dit vostè. Dóna la impressió com si, amb aquesta frase final, que, aquesta idea final que deia vostè, Europa no hagi fet una aposta perquè hi hagi un tant percent de la població escolar immigrant que es qualifiqui, és a dir, que tingui la qualificació, que tingui el títol, per entendre'ns. No sé si anava per aquí el que he llegit de vostè en aquell article que feia referència a l'any al començament, i si té ganes de contestar la pregunta. És certa aquesta tesi, és a dir, que Europa no havia fet una aposta prou valenta en el sentit del que vostè recomanava si fos polític, que és l'única valoració política que li he sentit en tota la nit, vaig ben encaminat o ho he llegit malament?
I don't fully understand your question, but let me start to answer it. I have made analysis on Islamic schools, not only myself, but also colleagues of mine. So from that point of view, I have made this argument, and I'm still working on it. Let me say it differently. Now, let me say two things. First of all, I have done this work on the neighborhood level, which is, I've shown that if you have a very ethnic diverse neighborhood, trust in that neighborhood is lower. Not only in the United States, but also in the Netherlands. So from that point of view, that's one of the arguments you might make for this ethnic Islamic school argument. I'm not advocating it, but I'm saying this is a possibility to use it. I hope to present... I'm now currently working. It's always the problem with writing books that comes after what you have done or what you are doing. I'm currently working on ethnic heterogeneous schools, whether that's good or bad for pupils. I'm here referring to ethnic heterogeneous schools in which you have a lot of diverse nationalities. An Islamic school, from that point of view, is a very homogeneous school, in the same way as a purely white school is a very homogeneous school. So we have then three different dimensions, socioeconomic composition, which always is very strong. The percentages of natives, which is a second line. And the third line is the ethnic heterogeneity, right? And basically, I'm now coming back to the book you refer to. If you have a very heterogeneous class, you have to make a user, you have to use more time to balance the class. If you have children from the Caribbean, from Latin America, from Turkey, from Algeria, from Iran, all in your class, you have to spend a lot of teaching and learning time on non-academic issues, because to balance the class. If you have only from Iran or from Latin America or from the Caribbean, you can specialize, and which means that you have that you spend less time on non-academic outcomes. And in the book I may you refer to, this is the linking pin between a lot of individual outcomes and macro characteristics. How much time children can spend on learning, and teachers can spend. To finalize that, let me give you a quite different example. I have a paper, it's not on this list, but a very nice paper, I'm very proud of it, which analyzed the effect of divorce on children, on outcome of education, or outcome of children, this PISA. Now, that's very normal. We know that divorce has a negative outcome on children. There's no debate about that, not as large as the church would claim, but larger than lots of secular people hope, right? I'm not going to into this, but a very interesting result into this is also the percentage single parents in a school or in a class. The higher that percentage is, the more negative it works, not only for the children of divorced parents, but for all of them. Now, if you think of the explanation, you come in the same argument. If you have only one divorced child in your class, she might be sometimes in emotional difficult problems, but you can handle that. If one third of your children comes from divorced families, it might become too much. You cannot longer handle it. And it starts to affect your teaching and learning time. And that's precise. So there are a lot of mechanisms, not only related to immigrants, which affect this teaching and learning time. Which is not perhaps not a pleasant story, but I'm not for the pleasant story. Said this, it is still far more important to have high educated parents. So if you can get high educated parents, you have to take into account that let them divorce. But never take low educated parents, even if they stay together. Right? That's always the story. The individual effect is the most important effect. Which is not the same as saying that the other effects are not there. The paper I mentioned too is De Lange, Dronkers and Wolpers. You can find it on my own page. Also with PISA data. I'm very proud.
Bé, moltíssimes gràcies al professor Jack Dronkers i a tots vosaltres per l'interès de seguir aquest debat i per la vostra presència aquí a debats d'educació i la participació que hem tingut. Us volem només recordar les properes dates de debats d'educació.
Sí, bé, primerament recordeu que la ponència del professor Dronkers estarà disponible a la web dels debats d'educació, com totes les anteriors. Els que de fet esteu subscrits en aquesta pàgina en rebreu informació puntual. i recordar-vos, com us deia l'Anna, doncs, per acabar, que la propera convocatòria d'aquests debats, aquesta vegada no serà tan aviat, però la tindrem en qualsevol cas a principis ja de mes de maig, concretament l'11 de maig amb en Daniel Inerarity. I bé, novament agrair al professor Dronkers la seva ponència d'avui i a tots vosaltres la vostra assistència. Fins a la propera. Moltes gràcies.
Thank you very much, Professor. Let me say that you have the interviewer.
Yeah, yes.
Are you prepared for
yeah,
the interview?
I'm prepared.
Sorry.
I'm prepared. I know. I'm going to stand
for it. Can you hear our TV?
Yeah.
Catalonia TV.
I always said you can write for beautiful scientific.
Yes.
Nobody will care. Television.
Ah,
and then the first thing is you have.
Marta,
I come. You are satisfied?
I think the public is
Jo diria que és aquest. No, segur, vaja, és aquest l'últim. Sí, segur, perquè l'acabo d'embolicar ara, aquest. Escolta'm, aquest és el del ponent. No sé si ha demanat...
Ni idea.
Vale, no ho sé. D'acord.
on hauria de remetre de veritat. La puntilla se la salia.
Sí.
Home, és que la situació de França està desesperada. I el que diu és que estem en una realitat.
Tu que parles de traumas, també s'ha dit. Diu, m'he passat no sé quants anys perquè ell ha estat responsable de l'Esteri també, de la Federació. Diu, tots els anys que ha estat responsable, diu, quan discutia de l'educació, semblava que parlava de teologia. Diu, perquè tots són dogmes. Diu, tots són dogmes amb els sindicats, amb els... Diu, hi ha coses intocables.
Però a ti no et fa l'efecte
que
queda just en el punt de la provocació i aquesta altra cosa, l'altra pas...
Jo
els segueixo des de mateix. Sí. Hi ha gent que diu que són interessants.
No, però clar, perquè està...
És que les dades...
Jo li agradaria.
Sí.
Tota la seva certificació de resposta a confiar.
Thank you. trobar els inalàmbrics, igual estaven a un nivell més baix, i quan hem fet la prova sonava bé. L'entrac d'aquest dia en plan pam, estava al nivell de línia massa alt, llavors suposo que saturava l'entrada.
Sí. I aquests senyors de la tele... Ui.